Begin the current Masechta Zvachim Dav Tzadi Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Tzadi Gvavim Beis, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the laws of regarding to Chatas and other Kachim. That is, when it's cooked in a vessel, there's a halacha of Merika Ushtifa. So that our Mishnah elaborates on that halacha. Rabbi Tarfon Noyma, he says, a unique exception to the halacha is that Bishul Mitchilis HaRegel. Although we said in the previous staff that one of the concepts is that the blias, the taste that gets absorbed into the vessel, will turn into nicer after the designated time of that carbon. So whether it be a carbon that can be for one day and a night, or for 2 days and a night. But after that time, then one has to do Merika Shtifa, if it's made out of metal, to purge it and to clean it out. If it's made out of earthenware, you have to crack it. Says Reb Tarfon, but Bishul Mitchila Saregel, but if, let's say, this vessel was used to cook the carbon in the beginning of the Yom Tov, although a Yom Tov could go for 7 days, Yavashal by Kol HaRegel. One could cook in that vessel the entire Yom Tov without doing Merika Shtifa, and at the end of the holiday, then they're going to do Merika Shtifa, as the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this unique halacha, like Reb Tarfon says. Now, the Chamayim, they disagree. They say, Ad Zman HaChila, until the time that one could eat the carbon, that is Merika Shtifa. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly how do we translate these words of the Chacham. Continues the Mishnah, Merika, this that we say, this halacha that we've been mentioning in the previous staff from the previous Mishnah regarding Merika Shtifa, what does that mean? So it says the Mishnah, Merika is Kemerikas HaKais, meaning just like there's a halacha that regarding a Kais Shal Bracha, when one makes a Kiddush or uses it for Birchas HaMazon, the Gemara in Brachas of Nanav and Manav says that it has to be washed out from the inside. That's what Merika means, like one washes out a cup on the inside. Ushtifa, the rinsing is kishtifa, as a case is how they wash out of cup, which is to do it on the outside. So therefore, Merika Shtifa means one's in the inside, meaning to wash it out from the inside and from the outside. Moreover, says the Mishnah, Merika Ushtifa Betzainen, the purging and the washing out are both with cold water. Where actually some Gersayas have the other opinion, as we'll see in the Bryce section, Machlekes, Merika Bechamen Ushtifa Betzainen, that the purging is with hot water and the washing out is with cold water. As a continued type of tzad design, the Mishnah concludes and says, "Hashvud va'askula," the spit, which is like a shish kebab, one has the meat roasting on the spit, and the askula, which is a grill, which is that when there's meat that's roasted of kachim, then magilon bechamen, then it has to be heated up in hot water and then purged that way from the blias of the kachim that's inside of it. Whereas Rashi points out, the Gemara of Zohar asks, "What do you mean? That's actually those metal utensils are getting the blias." When it's heated on a fire, not in a liquid, thus that's required the higher level of kashering, not of hagala, as the Mishnah tells us, but rather of libun, which is burning hot fire where the metal stick gets hot. But that's what the Mishnah says, that these things, and of course the previous halacha also requires that, it's just saying a chiddush in these halachas that here it's enough for the shpud and the askala to do hagala in hot water. Now the Gemara asks, my time with Reb Tarfon, the opening halacha of the Mishnah was this unique exception that although generally we have to do Merika Shtifa earlier, why is it that one could go in and cook in the pot the entire Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, when it talks about to the Yom Tovim, when the Jewish people had to do Alila Regal 3 times a year and come to the Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, it says, Ufanisa v'abayker, v'alachta lo'alecha, and then you'll turn in the morning and you'll go back to your tents, to your homes. Now, obviously, when it says that you're going to go and turn in the morning, it means a weekday, because on Yom Tov one had to stay in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, it's calling it the morning as if it's the first morning. So you see, HaKosav Asai L'kulam Bakarecha, the Pasuk is making the entire Yom Tov, that Matzah Yom Tov the next day is like one morning, is like the whole Yom Tov is one day. So just like we're classically, when one has a carbon that was cooked in the pot for that first day, one could do it, and then afterwards, after that day, one has to do Merika Shtifa. Here, the whole Yom Tov is like one day. On this interpretation, Maskevla Rav Achta Bar Ami says, V'chi'im pigel beregel? What, there's no halacha of pigel on Yom Tov? Let's say someone's slaughtering a carbon on the first day of Yom Tov with the intention that he's going to eat it tomorrow beyond its time. Well, you think it's not going to become pigel? Because you're saying the whole Yom Tov is one day. It's still on the same day. Tomorrow is not really tomorrow. After Yom Tov is tomorrow. So too, if ain't nicer beregel, you're going to tell me there's no halach of nicer. But let's say someone leaves over a piece of a carbon of chatas to the next day of Yom Tov. That's not nicer because you're saying, according to Reb Tarfon, the whole Yom Tov is one day, and nicer is only when it's the next day? And says the Gemara, v'chite mehachanam, and if you're going to say yes, that's actually Reb Tarfon would hold, not only for this halach of our Mishnah, but even for pigel and nicer would hold, it's all one day. But Tanya Lin the Brice, Reb Nosson Aimi says clearly, la'omer Reb Tarfon el zubulvad. Reb Tarfon only said his halacha regarding Merika and Shtifa, that for that he considers the whole Yom Tov like one day, but not regarding Pigul HaNaiser. But if the reasoning is, as the Gemara just said from this Pasig, then even regarding Pigul HaNaiser, the Pasig is not Toma Marika Shtifa. It's saying when you leave, when you go back, and you're saying that it's considering it the next morning, the whole Yom Tov, so then that should be not just for Marika and Shtifa, but for Pigul HaNaiser too. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Kedir Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Bar Avuah. Says, right, the reason is because Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Bar Avuah, he says, Kol Yoyim V'Yoyim Nasigiu L'Chaveroi. Every single day purges the previous day's absorbed taste of the carbon from yesterday. Meaning, and that's why it's unique for Yom Tov that Rabbi Tavim was talking about, because since Yom Tov, the entire Jewish people would come and bring karbanis, so there were many, many karbanis shlam being brought, and therefore there was no vessel that was being used that its belias, its absorbed taste, would ever become nicer, because the shlamims that all the Jewish people are bringing, shalmi chagiga, they are eaten for 2 days and one night. So even if, let's say, yesterday there was a shlam cooked in it, when they next use that same pot tomorrow, they're cooking a shlam, so then it's going to be absorbing the shlamim from the next day, and it's going to be spitting out the shlamim from yesterday. So it's absorbing the later taste, and therefore there's never going to be staying inside the taste of the shlamim to become nicer. Moreover, says Rashi, even if, let's say, when they cook a chatas, which then, even if you cook the next day a shlam, already by the next morning it already became nicer, because a chatas is only for 1 day and one night, but that says Rashi, they were careful to go ahead and make sure, since there were so many shlamim, anytime they brought a chatas, they went and cooked afterwards in the day shlamim, and then therefore that spit out the taste of the chatas and absorbed the taste of shlamim, and therefore that didn't become nicer the next day, because shlamim could be eaten for 2 days and one night, and therefore again, by the time it reached Tamar and it wasn't nicer yet, they cooked another shlamim, and therefore never came time for it to become nicer, to become problematic, to require the halacha of Marika and Shtifa, whereas we're going to see, even according to the Chacham, who disagreed with Tarfon, the primary halacha of Marika and Shtifa is only after the time of nicer has reached, and that never happened on the Yom Tov, and therefore one didn't have to do Marika and Shtifa on the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash on the Yom Tov. Until after Yom Tov. Now, says the Gemara, quoting from the Mishnah, Chachamim, they disagree with Reb Tarfon, and they say, no, ad zman achila b'chulu, until the time of when a carbon could be eaten, that's when you do Marika Shtifa. So the Gemara asks, Maikama, what are they saying? How do we translate these words? So Reb Nachman Amar Rabbi Bar Avuah, he says, Mamtin la ad zman achila. What it means to say is that one waits until the amount of time when you could eat the carbon that was cooked in this pot. Then when that time maxes out, now the blias inside are nicer, are problematic blias. Oh, then v'hadir avad la marika shtifa. Then, according to everyone, is when you do marika shtifa. It's just that what the Chacham are saying, that you have not only regarding every time, but even on Yom Tov, they don't have this leniency of Reb Tarfon, and therefore the classic halach of marika shtifa is going to be when up until when you could eat that carbon, then you leave the vessel. After that time and you can't eat it, then those tastes that are absorbed in the vessel are already nicer than when one has to go ahead and purge and rinse out that vessel. Says Gemara Menachem, where do we know this halacha from? So Rabbi Yechon Meshum Abba Yisi ben Abba, he says, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Umayrik Beshutav, which is that you purge and you rinse out the vessel. Or Ksiv, and it also says over there in the Pasuk, Kal Zachar B'Kahanim Yechel, every male of the Kahanim is going to eat this carbon, which over there is from the context of the Karmachatas. Now, so Haketzad, how so? In other words, what's the proximity of these two Psukim? What's it teaching us? To tell you, Mamtin la adzman achila. That's what it talks about the eating of the carbon. You wait up until the time when they could still eat it. Vahadar avul la marika shtifa. That's reflecting on the pasuk where it says umarik v'shutav. Then you're going to go ahead and do the purging and the rinsing of the vessel. But you wait first till after when they can't be eaten anymore, and then you do marika shtifa. And that's what the Chacham says always alocha. And Reb Tarfon says, but no, on Yom Tov, that as we said from Nachman Amar Rabbi Avuah, you don't have that problem because it never becomes nicer because it's always going to be purged before by just the cooking of the next carbon, and therefore only after Yom Tov when the carbon is slowed down, then it's going to become nicer, and then you have to do Marika Shtifa. Now the Mishnah said, Marika, what is this Marika Shtifa always talking about? It's Kamarika Zakais. It's like when you clean out a cup which is from the inside. Shtifa, when you rinse it out, it's Kashtifa Zakais, which is from the outside. So the Gemara elaborates on this halacha and in that quotes a machloikis. Charban Wunna Braisa. Marika Ushtifa Bitsain and Devi Rebbe. Rebbe holds these two halachas, these two types of cleaning out the vessel, are with cold water. That's the opinion of Rebbe. They say, no, Marika Bechamen, the purging is with hot water, Ushtifa Bitsain, the rinsing out is with cold water. Says Gemara, my time is Rabban, what's the reason Rabbanan that say that require that the Marika has to be with hot water? Says the Gemara, Midi hava agi uli abdi kachavim. Just like we find by non-kosher food, meaning the absorbed taste of a pot from an idolater, from a non-Jew, where one requires hot water, as the pasuk said in Bamidbar Amud Aleph, where the classic source of learning out the halachas of kashering, called davash yaveh be'ish, anything that was used in fire, has to then be purged in the fire. So just like when the non-Jew cooks his food, has liquid inside, and then the cooking gets absorbed through that way. So then it has to be purged that same way. So too, regarding the halachas of kachim, if you want to purge the taste of the carbon which became nicer inside of it, so that it doesn't negatively affect the next thing that's going to be cooked over there, you have to purge it with hot water. That's going to be the hagala, and then your rinsing is with cold water. But Rabbi Amalach, he would tell you, no, hagala lo kamina. Regarding the halacha of purging, that I didn't say. Of course that's required. Ki kamina, what was I saying? Lemariko shtifa the basa hagala. When I said they're both with cold water, it's after the classic halacha, unrelated to kachim. Anytime something that's forbidden, like by ge'uli avdi kachavim, that you have to do hagala, then there's a halacha on top of that of merika shtiva, that's with both is with cold water. Now, Rabbanan, they would tell you, imkain, if that's the case, but that you tell me that both merika and shtiva are both the same thing, that merika and shtiva are both with cold water, and merika is not like the Rabban hold that of hagala, then lichtiv kra, then the pasuk should have said a uniform terminology by both of them, because both are with cold water, a moirek moirek, a shutiv shutiv. Mayu moirek v'shutiv, why is it change the terminology? Shema melech, said Rabban, obviously because they're two different things. Merik is becham, and the purging is with hot water, u'shtivi betzayin, and the rinsing out is with cold water. But the Rebbe, he would tell you, no. Iksiv moirek moirek, if it said the same terminology, havamina trezim ni moirek, I would think, okay, both, two times are you going to do the same thing in merika? Oh, it trays him the shutif. Over they said two times shutif. It means both times of shutif. Lachach ksev marik v'shutif. That's why it changes the terminology in both them. Loy melcha to tell you because actually they're two different things. Merika is kamerika sakais. The purging is like purging of a kais bracha. And shatifa is kashatifa sakais. It's like rinsing it out. Meaning that one is from the outside and one is from the inside. That's why we use two different terminology. If we use both terminology, you would think, okay, rinse out the inside two times or wash out the outside two times. Why does it change the terminology? Say one is rinsing off from the inside, one from the outside, both with cold water. But of course, Rebbe agrees there has to be hagala. That's an unrelated halacha. Amrika and Shtifa is tomat regarding cold water. Now, continuing on the related discussion regarding the cooking in the pots of the karbanis. So the Mishnah tells us, bishul by kachim achulim. Let's say there was a pot that was cooked not only the kachim, the karbanis, but with it was cooked unconsecrated produce. A kachim, kachim, a kachim kalim, or it wasn't just karmachatas. With the karmachatas was cooked like a kachim kalam, like a karman shlam. So says the Mishnah, im yesh behen benois and tam, if that kachim is giving taste into the chulin or into the kachim kalam, sahariya kalam nechalim kechamurin shabem. So the lighter, the lesser sanctified items, the chulin or the kachim kalam, has to now have the halachas of consumption, like the more severe one of the kachim, which is has to be eaten within the curtains, like chattis and ushim and the kachim, has to be eaten only for one day and one night, not like shlamim or chulin, which is eaten for longer, that of 2 days or forever. Moreover, the einan tu'unin merika shtifa, however, it does not require to be purged and to be rinsed after the time of when the more severe, meaning when the chattis can't be eaten anymore, rather after the time of when the kachim kalim can be eaten anymore. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask, how can you say that? You just said that if it gives a taste, so then the kalim will be eaten like the chamurin. So then why did it then say that it doesn't have the halacha of the chamurin, of merika and shtifa? To the contrary, you're saying it has the same halacha because it gives a taste. So then it should have all the halachas, which is therefore requires merika and shtifa after a day and night, like the chatas, not like a shlam after 2 days and one night. But the Gemara will address that question. And so too continues the Mishnah, the einan paislim b'maga. And that is, if let's say the kal, the more lighter, the less severe thing that was in that pot being cooked, meaning not the kachim kachim, but rather the kachim kalim or the chulim, if they became invalidated from the kachim kachim, and then it touched another piece of meat which absorbed from it, that other piece of meat is not going to become invalidated. The Gemara is going to also address that. What do you mean? Why? If the kachim kalim has the same halacha like the kachim, which became pasul, so then it should also convey the invalidation to whatever it touches, just like it would be by the kachim. Continues the Mishnah, rakik, an invalidated wafer, which is a certain type of menachas that were made like a crispy, like a wafer, shenaga barakik, that touched a valid wafer, which then by touching, since they're both hot, absorbed some of the taste of the invalidated wafer, or v'chaticha b'chaticha, a hot piece of a carbon which is pasul touched a hot piece of a piece of meat that's from a carbon that's kasher. So it says the Mishnah, loy kol harokikin, and the gears of the sheet of Megabetzes is in the singular, loy kol harokik, v'loy kol hachaticha sasurin. It's not the entire wafer or the entire piece of the kosher meat that became aser. Eino aser ela b'makom shabala, only the part which absorbed when we're in the point of contact from the non-kosher piece, that's the part that's invalidated, but the rest of the piece of the meat or the rest of the kosher wafer did not become invalidated from touching that hot, invalidated wafer or invalidated piece of meat. Now, the Gemara asks, as we had alluded to in the reading of the Mishnah, my Kamar, seemingly the Mishnah contradicts itself. It says if you cook the kachim with something that's more kal, either kachim kal or mochulin, so then if it's going to give a taste, it has the halacha like the more severe thing. And then it says, oh, but you don't have to do mirkesh tifa like the chamer, you know, it doesn't invalidate when it touches something else like the chamer. Why? Well, doesn't that seem to contradict? And the Gemara says, you're right, there are words that are missing over here. And what it's supposed to say is, im yesh bahen b'naisin tam, like the Mishnah said, if it gives a taste, so then, like the Mishnah said, the first part, hariyakal nacham kechamur. So the less severe things have the halachic of consumption, like the more severe, where it's limited, has to be in the kloyim, and it has to be only for a day and a night. Now, additionally, these words are missing. V'tu'unim rikashtifa, of course, then it has to have the purging and the rinsing, like the more severe halacha after a day and a night. And the paislim b'maga, and that is, if, let's say, the more severe, the kachikachim became invalidated, and the kalim were kasher. The kalim have the same halacha as the chamurin, because it gets the taste from the chamurin, and therefore it will invalidate whatever touches even the kalim, like the pasuk says, kol asher yigo b'basar yikdash, whatever touches the meat of the more severe thing will become sanctified, as the Gemara is going to say later on. It has the same halacha, like it, which is if the chamur is pasul, so to the kalim is pasul, and yes, of course, it will go ahead and convey tumah to whatever it touches. But then it says a different case, that if ein behem b'naisin tam, so although it seemed like it's one halacha, which we said contradicts, it's actually two different halachas, it's actually the opposite. If it does not give a taste, then the halacha is ein arkal nechom kechamurim, that then it does not have the limitations of consumption as the more severe one. And so too, which these are the words that our Mishnah does say, ve'ein tu'una merikah shtifa, and then it does not require merikah shtifa, which Gemara later is going to ask, why doesn't it require merikah shtifa at all? It shouldn't require that of the chamurim, but at least it should require for the kachim kalim, that is what it is itself, which is the kalim, which is up until when it can be eaten after 2 days and one night. Why are you saying that it has no halacha merikah shtifa at all? And also, the ein paislim b'maga, and that is if, let's say, the more severe meat, the kachim that was cooked with the kalim were pasul, but since it's a minority and it doesn't even give a taste into the kalim, into the less severe thing, so then the kalim, like we said, does not become like the halacha of the chamer to invalidate whatever it touches, because even the kalim themselves did not become possible because it didn't get a taste absorbed from the mochamer that became possible. Now, so then why does it say that ain paislin is not going to validate other things with maga if it itself doesn't become possible? So that says Rashi, you're right, but just because since the Reisha said that it is paislin because they do get the halacha of the chamer, and not only that, but they go ahead and validate other things that they touch. So the Sefer, which is when it doesn't have tam, said ain't paislin, that it doesn't invalidate other things, but it's even more than that, even it itself does not become invalidated. Now the Gemara asks a question, as we alluded to in the revised version of our Mishnah, Nehida kachi kachim lebo. You're right, although that you're saying that if it doesn't give taste, one does not require merikah shtifa at the end of the time when one can eat the chamurin, because it's the minority and it's nullified in the kachim kalim or the chulin. But kachim kalim nimbayi, but the second case of the Mishnah, when it was cooked with kachim kalim, at least it should have to require merikah shtifa at the end of when the kachim kalim can be eaten. So it doesn't require after 1 day and one night, but it should require at least after 2 days and one night. On that, Abaye says, you're right. My ain't tuna de gama. What does the revised reading of the Mishnah mean when it says that when it's mixed with the kachim kalim, if it doesn't give a taste, it does not require merikah shtifa? It means kachik kachim. It doesn't require the more limited amount of time as one would have by kachik kachim. Avo kachim kalim tuna. Of course, we're going to kachim kalim. It's going to require, because so it's not absorbing kachik kachim, but it itself is kachim kalim. Of course, we're going to require merikah shtifa after those 2 days. Rav Amar, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Hamani, who's the town of our Mishnah, Rib Shimonhi, the Amar that he says, Kachem Kalim, ain't tun, Merikah Shtifa, as recorded in the previous Mishnah, that he does not hold that there's Merikah Shtifa, Kachem Kalim, only Kachem Kachem. And therefore, yeah, it's saying that since it doesn't absorb a taste from the Kachem Kachem, it does not require Merikah Shtifa. Now, so the Gemara asks, so Bishlam al Rav, we could understand according to Rav's interpretation that he says the town of the Mishnah is like Rib Shimon, Sahain Diktani, Ay Kachem Kachem, the Kachem Kalim. The Mishnah first said a case that if you cook kachem with tchulam, and then said another case, and if you cook kachem kalam, we could understand why the Mishnah comes to tell us that case, to tell us with this extra case that the anonymous Mishnah is like Reb Shimon. We say stam asnitin, we go and we paskin. So we're coming to say that kachem kalam, which are less severe, do not require merikah shtifa at all. So that's what we're saying, that if it doesn't give taste, you don't have to do merikah shtifa. So we understand why it says it extra case, because we want to tell you that the stam masnitin is like Reb Shimon. El Abaye, but according to Abaye, that he says, no, what does it mean that it does not require merikah shtifa? It only means it does not require like the more limited of the chamurin, but it does require merikah shtifa like kachem kalam. So tarti lamali, then what was the necessity of saying this case of when kachem gets mixed with kachem kalam? We already said the case of when kachem gets mixed with chulin. And we already said the main concept, which is that it becomes nullified because it's the minority and it doesn't give a taste, so it's not going to negatively affect the chulin. So what's the difference between chulin and what's the difference between kachem kalam? What was the necessity of saying an extra case if it's essentially the same idea? So the Gemara, no trichi was required because the itan of kachem chulin. If we only said this first case of the Mishnah, when kachem gets mixed with chulin and it doesn't give a taste, so have a mina chulin who demavat like kachem. So we'd think, okay, chulin, unconsecrated produce, can nullify the kachem, which is nullified because it's not giving a taste into the chulin. Because delav minayu, because they're not the same species. They're two different things. In halacha, something that's enoy minay is more of a reason to say that it nullifies the thing that's not like it at all. But when they're both kachim, one just a higher level of sanctity, one lower, I would say that no, because as there are opinions that mimba minay loy batal, because it's the same thing, you can't nullify, although one is classified one way, not another way, but they're both the same item, both the same entity. I would think that even though it's not giving a taste, it cannot nullify it. That's what I have to say, the case of when kachim mixes with kachim kalam. Now, the other way true is also, v'itan kachim kalam, we only had the second case, when kachim gets mixed with kachim kalam, that then if it doesn't give a taste, we said, so it's not going to negatively affect it, havamina kachim hu dalimi levetuli kachim, I would think it's only in that case, because, yeah, kachim kalam, it's still kachim, so it's strong enough to nullify the entity of kachim. But I would think we're going to chulin that not. It's not strong enough. It doesn't have a chashivas enough to nullify that of kachim, even if it's not giving a taste. And therefore, maybe it would still negatively affect it. Tzricha, there we have to say both the cases. But again, it's nothing to do with the opinion of Shimon. It will require merikah shtifa, just not like the chamurin, but according to Abai, it will require like kachim kalam after the 2 days and one night. Now, the Mishnah continued. It says, rikik shagia b'rikik v'chulu. Regarding a wafer mincha that touches another wafer mincha, which these are solids, or a piece of meat that touches another piece of meat, these are hot solids, so it doesn't get mixed into the whole piece of meat or the whole wafer, but the hot spots which touch each other where it gets absorbed, that is what becomes invalidated. So the Gemara brings a braisa that elaborates on the halacha. Turn about and learn the braisa. The Pasuk in Vayikra says, in this context of this halacha, it says, kol ha-shayiga, whatever touches the meat of the carbon will be sanctified, which that's the halacha we're talking about, and it has the same halacha like what it got absorbed from. Now, yachala fila shalaybala, you would think even if it doesn't absorb the taste, because it says kol ha-shayiga, as long as it touches, becomes invalidated. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches, bivsara, in its flesh, which the way the Gemara expounds that as we continue to Medbeis, ad sheyivla bivsara, until it absorbs in its flesh, for example, we're talking about the actual meat itself of the chatas gets absorbed into the other carbon, into the other chulin. For example, if let's say someone liquefies the fat of a carbon chatas and smears it onto a carbon shlamim that's being roasted, and then the fat of the chatas literally gets absorbed into the shlamim, which is from here, as Rashi says, from Pesachim Daf Mem Hayim and Aleph, that was where we learn now that hetem mitzdarf le'isr by kachim, whereas that you have that of the heter of the shlamim combines with that of the prohibited element of the chatas, because as Rashi says, we're not going to learn from here the concept of tam kikr, which is Rashi's opinion, as all the mafarshim talk about this Rashi, that where one would say, hey, you see that the taste of the karma chatas is like the chatas itself, where the taste is getting absorbed into the shlamim and it's negatively affecting it. No, because says Rashi here, we're not talking about taste, we're talking about literally the fats of the chatas are melted and gets absorbed into the shlamim, and that's why it's or the chulin, that's why it's affecting it. But that's what it says, that achiyiv lebibsar is not enough just to touch the chatas, has to literally absorb, and according to Rashi, not just the taste, but even the actual substance of the karma chatas, like the fat of the chatas, into the other element, that of the chulin or the shlamim, to go ahead and give it the limitations of this halacha. No. Says the Braisa, Yochel Noga b'miktsas chaticha, you would think even if it only touches part of the piece, in which this gets to the heart of the halacha that we're explaining from the Mishnah, you would think you hate kulei pasul, that the whole thing would become invalidated. Tamala miyiga, that's what the pasuk teaches, that what it touches, hanageya pasul. Only where it touches, it invalidates. So how does one do this? You cut away the part that absorbed, but the rest of the way for the rest of the piece of meat is going to be permitted. Continues the Braisim. This that it says in the pasuk bibsara in its meat, which is saying in the simple translation of the pasuk, whatever touches bibsara in its meat, which is going on the chatas, then yikdash, then it's going to have the sanctity of the karmachatas. So that's what says the Braisim. It's only from its meat. Not if it absorbed from the sinews, not from its bones, not from its horns, not from its hooves. Those things will not have this unique halacha that whatever it gets the taste from it or the substance going into it that's going to have the same halacha, like it, then it's not going to have those limitations. And when the pasuk continues, says yikdash will be sanctified, what it means to say is liyis kamaya has the same halacha as the chatas that it's absorbing from. Okay, it's at hausa. What does that mean? Impsulahi, if let's say this shlamim or this chulin is absorbing the taste of the karma chatas, tipasel, if that chatas is pasel, so then what it's being absorbed into also becomes invalidated. Vim kasherihi, and let's say the chatas is valid. You're right, so this will also be valid, but ta'achol kachamer shaba, like we said, but then it's going to have to be eaten with the limitations and the severities of the chatas itself, because right now, in this piece of meat, you have two different types over here. You have a shlamim, and you have the chatas that are absorbed in it, and therefore you have to eat according to the stringency of that of both of them, which... If there would be a stringency in shlam, one would have that too. But you have to have the stringency of the chatas too, which is absorbed inside this piece of the shlam. Now, that has to gemara, my, but why is it that we say that if, let's say, the chatas is pasul or even not, but it has certain limitations, that then when it gets absorbed into, let's say, a carbon shlam, then because of that, it's going to say that the shlam will also have those invalidations. But why? Because of that little amount of chatas, although it's giving a taste, but why do we go ahead and we say that we're going to totally invalidate the whole shlavim now? Why? V'nesia say, but let the positive commandment of v'achlu oisam. There's a halacha by a kosher carbon. The Torah says, achlu oisam. There's a positive commandment to eat that carbon. V'litchias loisa say, and should override the negative prohibition of not eating the invalidated carbon, because although, yes, as the Gemara says in Pesachim Nef Chavzal Mat'av, there is a negative prohibition of eating a carbon that became pasul, which says, Kol Sheba Kodesh, when we're talking about whatever is sanctified, it becomes pasul, the Torah is telling you there's a negative prohibition to eat it, but we know halachically, the Gemara in Yevamos talks about it at length, Asay Dorcha Loisa say, a positive commandment overrides a negative one. So why, if there's shlamim, which has a positive commandment to eat it, has absorbed in it the pasul chatas, which is a negative commandment not to eat it, and you say, okay, it's going to have the same halacha and it's going to be pasul. Why? Say that say, I mean, the shlam is deicha delaysa, say, of eating that chatas is absorbed inside of it. So Amar Rav says, Eina say deicha es laysa, say, shabit mikdash. We don't say this halacha of the positive commandment overriding a negative commandment, if that negative commandment is halacha regarding relating something to the temple, to the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. How so? Like we see in the Braisa. Then the pasuk says in Shemayis regarding the carbon pasach, it says ve'etzem le'sishbur boy. One's not allowed to break the bone of a carbon pasach. Now Reb Shimon Menashe Omer, he says this halacha applies echad etzem sheyesh b'mayach, whether it's a bone that has marrow inside of it, ve'echad etzem sheyesh b'mayach, whether it's a bone that doesn't have marrow inside of it. Not break the bones. On that, the question is, am I, but why, nesi asay, the positive commandment of eating the marrow in the bone, because the pasuk says, v'ochlo es abasa b'layla zeh, you have to eat all the meat of the carbon pesach on this night, which includes the marrow in the bones. V'litchi es lo isasay, and should override the negative prohibition of breaking the bones. You're right, now I'll break a bone. And therefore, if there's no marrow, of course you can't break it. But the positive commandment of eating the carbon pesach should override the negative prohibition of breaking the bone. Ella rather says, Rava, this idea, you see that the positive commandment of eating the Karban Pesach, which includes the marrow, does not override the negative prohibition of something relating to Avodah Beis HaMikdash, of breaking the bone of the Karban Pesach. Rav Ashi, he gives a different interpretation. He says, no, because it says in the Pasuk, like we quoted, Yikdash, it's holy, which tells us that Asehu, not only the negative prohibition of eating the Karban Chatas applies, but there's also a positive commandment where it also has the same sanctity. And therefore, a positive commandment, that of eating the carbon, will not override both the negative prohibition of eating carbon that's pasul and the positive commandment of having it yikdash, which is therefore saying that it should have the same halacha in the positive form, which gives it thus the strength of also an asay. And therefore it's not just a leisasei, it's a leisasei vasei, and therefore the positive commandment cannot override them. So on that continues the Gemara, it says, fine, so ashkechan chatas, the miskadish bebeluah. So we have the pasuk that we brought, that which is talking about in the context of a karma chatas, that it's going to sanctify something that absorbs the taste from it, which we said will even make that other carbon puzzle, even if it just gives a taste to it. But the question is, shar kach menalan, how do we know that this halach applies to other carbonas too? That a mishmul mishum rebliya. So he says, because the pasuk says in the yikra, says, zaysa tayra la'ilu ulamincha ulachatas ulasham ulamilum ulazevach ashlam. Says that these are the laws for the carbonas ayla, a flower offering of mincha, a chatas, a asham, like the miluim, which they had these days when they made the inauguration of the Mishkan, and for the carbon of the shlam, which the pasuk is equating each carbon to the other ones, to teach from one of those to all the other ones. And that's why they were all compared, which is, as the Gemara goes through from Shmuel, that each one of these karbanas that I mentioned is teaching a halacha regarding the other karbanas. La'ila, the first one mentioned was for the ayla. Ki'ayla? Comparing it to the carbon oila, which is ma'oila to an ikli, just like the carbon oila requires a vessel of kli to an ikli, so to call to an ikli. Also, the other carbonas, also in the avaida of its carbon, also requires a vessel. On that, my kli, what does it mean when you say that an oila requires a vessel? Ilem and mizrik, if you think to say, it means to say the vessel that's used to receive the blood in halach of Kabbalah, and how do we know that oil requires a vessel to receive the blood? We learn that from the karbanos oilas that were brought by Har Sinai. Like it says that they sent the Nari B'nai Yisrael, and it says over there that they had brought karbanos oila, and it says over there, as the Gemara is going to shortly bring the pasuk, that they received the blood in vessels. And that has the Gemara, but then why would you need to learn that out from oila? Regarding the public karbanos shlamim, it also says in that pasuk in Shemais by Har Sinai, v'yikach Meshe chatzei adam v'yasam ba'agones, and Meshe took half of the blood and he put it into these receptacles. So since anyway, as we say from the end of the pasuk, we compare all the other karbanos to shlamim from that same pasuk, which as we're going to see later on, the next daf, that we learn other things from shlamim. Just like shlamim is mespaglin, umespaglin, it could make other things pigle and it itself becomes pigle. So too, you should learn out the same halacha from shlamim too and say, just like shlam was by Sinai, and that you received it in a vessel, so to all the other karbanas. So why do you need to learn that from Eila? So Eila rather says the Gemara, no, the vessel that we're talking about doesn't mean the vessel of receiving the blood, rather the sakin. We're talking about a kli, not of a vessel, but rather of a knife, which has to be used for slaughtering, meaning coming to exclude using a rock or a reed, because we need to have a kli sharis, an actual vessel, and not enough to use something else that could do the mechanism of slaughtering. You have to have actually a kli. And that's its teaching regarding all the other karbanas too. And that is the Gemara of Oila Gufim. How do we know the karban Oila requires a kli? The Chassid, like the pasuk says in Bereishis, says V'yishlach Avram es yodah v'yikach es hamacheles. That Avram stretched out his hand and he took the knife. Now v'hasam Oilahu. There, it was referring to a karban Oila because the Chassid says in the pasuk V'yaleu lo Oila tachas benai. That instead of slaughtering his son by the Akedah, he brought an Oila in place of his son. So you see that it was regards to an oila, and it was using a macheles, which means a knife. So you see that an oila requires a knife, and that's what we're learning regarding all of the karbanos. It also requires a sakin, and you can't use like a rock or a reed. So too, the pasuk equates mincha, all the karbanos, to a flower offering, which is ma mincha ein necheles el zechichuna, just like the mincha is only eaten by the male kahanim. Avkal ein mchalm el zechichuna, so too the other ones are also only eaten by the male kahanim. And that is the Gemara Mahi, which one of the other karbanas that's mentioned there in that pasuk are you learning out from mincha that it's only eaten by the male kahanim? Ichatas va'ashim, if you think it's regards to chatas and ashim, which we know are eaten only by the kachi kachim, they're eaten by the kahanim that are male, behedik sebu, that says the Gemara, no, that you don't need to learn from a hekesh from mincha, that explicitly the pasuk says by yikra, kal zarcha bekahanim yechlenu, that the male kahanim eat it. And v'isham etzibin, if you think it's regarding learning out regarding the public shlamim, because a regular shlam is eaten not just by the male kahanim, it's even eaten by the owners. But shami tzibur is only eaten by the male kahanim, and that says gemar mirbur the cross. But that you know from an extra word in the pasuk in Bamidbar, because the pasuk says b'kodesh hakadoshim teichlenu, in the holiest of holies you eat it. Kal zachar yechal oisai, every male should eat it. And this is in Parshas Korach, where although that pasuk is not talking about explicitly zivchei shalmei tzibur, but it does say over there, v'kodesh yilach, where it says there at the end of the pasuk, seemingly that's superfluous, which limud al shalmei tzibur, that comes to teach regarding the public shlamim, because by the Kivsi Atzeres, which are the one shlomim that's brought by the Tzibur on Shavuos, when they bring the Shtei Halechem, they bring these Kvasim that are shlomim, it says also over the Kodesh Yiu LaShem LaKoyin, says the same terminology like Kodesh Yiu Lach, which teaches you She'en Nechal Ne'lezecher Chuna, that they're only eaten by the male Kohanim. So you know that not from a Hekesh from Mincha, but rather you know that from the Ribui Dekra in Bamidbar in Parashat Kayach. And this is the Gemara Tanoihi, but that's a Machlekes Tanoim. You're right, those who learn the halacha, as we continue to talk about Tzadik Chesem and Alf, that the Shalmi Tzibur is learned out from a Ribui Dekra. But those who learn it out, not from the Bered, they learn it out, as Gemara elsewhere talks about why one does not learn out from the other source, but that those who learn like Shmuel brings, learn it out from the halacha of Mincha. And therefore, that's what Mincha is teaching regarding the Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur, that it's eaten only Lezivchei Chuna. Then the pasuk continues, and that's the primary one why we bring in this drasha of Shmuel that says chatas. It's comparing all the korbanos to chatas. That ma chatas miskadeshes bebalua, just like the korban chatas. The pasuk tells us this halacha of yikdash, that whatever gets absorbed from the taste of the chatas will have the same halacha as the chatas itself. If it's possible, that becomes possible. If it's chum, if it's kosher, but then the shlam, let's say, will have this the limitations of the chatas. Avkol meskadeshes bebalua, so too, this answers the question, we find the source for all other karbanas, that also it's going to sanctify, it's going to have the limitation for whatever gets absorbed from that carbon. Now, on that Rashi actually asks, why do you have to learn that out from chatas? You could learn that out from the mincha that the pasuk just mentioned before, because the pasuk says in Yikra Vav, regarding the mincha, kol ashe yikra bayikdash, says the same words, whatever touches the mincha will become sanctified, which it's going to have this sanctification of being absorbed from the mincha, has the limitations of the mincha. So that says Rashi, no, we had to compare it to chatas because we would not have been able to learn it off from mincha. Because we could have said, you cannot compare it to mincha only regarding this halacha that we said for the Shalmi Tzibur, which is regarding zichrei chuna. But regarding absorption of the taste, we would have thought, no, maybe that halacha applies especially just for mincha because it's soft, it's liquidy, to absorb into the thing that's getting absorbed into. And that's why it has the limitations of the mincha. But regarding other kachim, which is not as soft as a mincha, it would not have that limitation. Therefore, we have to learn that from chatzis, which is a carbon, to all other carbonus that's meat, to say that, no, even over there, not only by a mincha, that whatever touches it, whatever gets absorbed from it, is going to be yikdash, will have that limitation again. And not only chatzis, the pasuk Gezayis Tatayr is comparing it to all other carbonus. The old kachim, the halacha is, when it gets absorbed into something else, it has the limitation of that carbon that it's absorbed from.